appreciation for him, that you would love to find a way to say, I love you, and here's something you could use, something you like, something you want. And they've given you the equivalent of saying, batteries. You've come across that, right? I don't know. Maybe it's just a me thing. I doubt it. But maybe it is. When I give a gift, sometimes it's, you know, okay, I don't know. What do you want? Well, here you go. You got that. And other times it's, I want to give you something from the heart. So I want you to know I care about you. Again, I want you to know I love you. I want you to know I'm thinking of you, and I can't buy, like, your affection. But this is a symbol that you matter to me. I like to do that with gifts. I see quirky things, and I think that reminds me of, well, I'm going to get it for, okay? Before I had children, I had in mind ideas that I wanted to get them for Christmas. Turns out, some of those things they wouldn't enjoy. But it's like, someday I'm going to be parent to blah, and so I would like to get blah this gift. And it's just the idea there can be thought, there can be expression, there can be a genuineness behind the gifts that we give. Am I right about that, or am I wrong? On the count of three, say what you think. One, two, three. Yes. I got everything in between. Awesome. But I know that Christmas, for my dad, I looked at his list, and I thought, maybe I missed something. Batteries. I gave my dad, and I doubt he appreciated this, and I'm not saying, look, I'm awesome, but I gave him a little bit of a heart-to-heart talk. It went like this. Dad, are you serious? I love you. You have my three children that all love you. Never mind that one of them referred to you as chopped liver in jest at Thanksgiving. It was in jest. We would love to get you something that's meaningful, that might cause you to remember that we love you at Christmas, and a battery won't do it. Come up with a list, man. Again, you've been there, right? People that it's hard to buy for them, but you want to give something meaningful. Isn't that kind of what drives gift giving? We can talk about gifts right now. We can do that. We can give. Who's got a gift? No. But isn't that what drives it? I mean, shouldn't it be that when you're giving a gift, I said for the youth, you know, something $5-ish, and it can be fun, potentially useful. That's one thing. Elephant gifts, you know, that's one thing. But a real gift, shouldn't it be driven by, like, I appreciate you. I want you to know I notice you. This is something that's special because you're special. That's the idea, right? So you know who the hardest person is for me to shop for? Every year, consistently, come Christmas time, the hardest person for me to shop for, you want to take a guess? And it's not my dad. That was one bad year. All good suggestions. It's God. What do you get the God that has everything? Look, God, you know what? I love you so much, I want to give you a gift. I'm going to make a person. I'm going to need your help doing that because I can't make a person, God. No, God, look, I'm in the candy aisle. What's your favorite candy? You know I have a favorite candy. That's right. It's going to be hard to get it to you anyway. Hey, God, look at all the toys. They got cool toys. And you gave everybody the idea for these toys, didn't you? There's absolutely nothing I can get you, God. Here's what happens come Advent, right now, and Christmas, real soon. We celebrate the idea that God reached into God's own pocket, to use a phrase, and gave us the greatest gift we could ever receive. Gave us of himself. Gave us Jesus Christ, the pardon for our sins, the model for the best life possible, unending love, forgiveness beyond what we could ever ask for, ever, ever ask for. God gave us that. And every year, I want to give God something in return. But once again, how do you do that? Like Walmart? No. Maybe the chocolate store? No. Do we have a God store around here? No. It's really hard. Let me stop joking around just for a minute. Here is oftentimes what we do give to God. Okay? I'm not trying to be funny anymore. I'm trying to be serious. And I'm trying to ask you to look at your own life. Because a lot of times, here's what we give to God. You know, I just don't like that this happened. And I think this is really lousy. And I feel like, you know, the cloud is hovering over me and it's raining on me. And we give that to God. Or sometimes we give to God this. Oh, I can't believe that. There's no way in the world. Of all the people, that happened to me. That just makes me angry. I am so upset. Oh, I can't believe. Why would this happen? Why would God do that? And we give that to God. And sometimes we give to God, well, I just don't know anymore. I just don't know anymore. You know, maybe at one point, but no, God. I just don't know. And it's okay. Hear me on this. Just as I said last week, I say to you again this week, it's okay that you encounter hardships and difficult times and things you don't like. But when you let the outflow, the pouring out, the constant cry of your heart change from God, you're amazing, to God, here's all the ways you've messed me over, what kind of gift is that? And if you stop and look, there is a lot of giving the crud to God. I'm not chastising you like Dyer United Methodist, God's waiting at the door and he's got a hammer. I'm asking you to examine your hearts. What is it that you have inside of you this holiday season? Because I know personally, I have heard a lot of grumbling and unhappy and I'd prefer and well, I wish, and those are fine. Honesty is good. And again, to be real about the situations you're in, God is big enough to handle your hurts and your doubts. It's not that those aren't acceptable. But again, here's my question, where is your heart? Do you have space in it that you reserve for God amidst the other things? I definitely want to tell you how much I love you. Do you have place in your heart for God, even though this is not the path I'd have chosen, you are still awesome? Is there a spot in your heart that says, God, these are little things, and I don't like them real well, but I love you, and so my gift will be praise? Because I read the story, and I had this plan for this message this morning, well before this morning. I want you to know I had this since like 11:59 last night. I'm joking. And here's what I see. Listen to this passage from Luke. The first chapter of Luke is one of the longest chapters in Scripture. And so if you've read it and you fall asleep before this point, join with me midway through. Luke chapter 1, I'm going to start at verse 26. It says this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, thank you, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, I want you to listen to Mary's responses through this, okay? I want you to hear the scripture, yes. Listen to Mary's responses. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Check it out. Mary's like, "Oh, an angel, great, I've been waiting for you." Mary's like, "What the heck? Greetings, what's going on here?" Mary was probably trembling at this point. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. That's almost amusing. Mary was certainly not like, "Yes, yes, indeed." Wondered what kind of greeting this was. What's going on? Is this angel here to take me to my final resting place? When did this happen? How'd you get in here? Oh. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." And again, check Mary's response. How? What? What? Did you miss angel in the scripture where it said, I'm a virgin? How will this be, Mary asked. Since I am a virgin in scripture, I didn't make that up. How will this be? Mary doesn't even get it. Probably because she's still trembling. What in the world? You can't just, but I mean, how? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. Mary's response, once again, slightly different. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. In other words, may this not be a giant crock. May this happen if you say it's going to happen and no word from God will ever fail. And the angel left her. Mary gets this announcement, and we have all kinds of pictures that are prettied up of Mary. But Mary is a person just like you and I. Mary was terrified of what God was saying. Mary was trying to figure out how this would happen. Mary didn't just go along with it or even ask, you know, God, this Christmas, it'd be awesome if, you know, I could just deliver your son in the world. Huh? Mary had the same fears that you and I would have and probably even more. And questions, I think how was just the beginning of the line of questions. Luke looked at his writing and said, this is already too long. I'm going to have to edit some of the Mary questions out. But Mary says, okay, all right, kind of in a shocked state, I have to imagine. What you said, let's do that. Okay, if that's what God wants. But the cool thing is, if you go on a few verses later, Mary meets up with her cousin and finds her to be pregnant just like the angel said. And her cousin, to paraphrase in a really rough way what scripture says, more or less says, and how about you? And here's the cool part. Mary offers one of the longest phrases written in poetry, an expression of pure praise that we have in scripture. They've given this little piece, this little ditty here, a title they call the Magnificat, because it's so much different from any other recorded section of praise. The Apostle Paul wrote these little pieces of praise and worship, and they date them as pretty old and pretty authentic when they analyze the writings. But this is one of the longest single sections of just glory to God that we have in scripture. When Mary greets her cousin, sees God's word is indeed true, and considers her situation, which she didn't understand and didn't ask for, and probably found a little bit far from ideal, she says the following in verse 46. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He's performed mighty deeds with his arm. He's scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts, but he's lifted up the humble. He's brought down rulers from their thrones. He's filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He's helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants of forever, just as he promised our ancestors. I want you just for a minute, and you may have done this before, and maybe you've heard, Mary, did you know? And maybe you've stopped to do this, but would you just help me out here and put yourself in Mary's shoes? Mary was not, at the time the angel visited her, pregnant. And again, I don't read where it says she was looking to be pregnant. Mary was probably a faithful, worshiping person, but never thought that maybe she'd just come face to face with the Messiah that had been promised. Mary, as we read later, never wanted to go on the long journey that happened with the census that came. Mary didn't have the same rights that we have today. She was pledged. You ever stop and look at that word, pledged to be married? It wasn't because, like, she and Joseph met, and they went and they had a burger together, and then they saw a movie, and after some time, this was an arranged marriage. And she's going to come up pregnant. You know what that does? That cancels the marriage. This was so far from ideal for Mary. That's all I'm trying to get you to see. This is about the last thing she expected. This would be the most difficult word to receive. Devin, God says to me. Just imagine, okay? Putting myself in that place. Devin, Jen's going to be pregnant again. And it's not from a person like, God, I've been praying so long and now you're going to what? Okay, this is where Mary was. It would have been easy to say, I'm out, thanks, God. It would have been easy to say, look, angel, you get back to heaven real fast or we're going to have words. We're going to throw down right here, angel. Instead, Mary offers, in the midst of far from ideal circumstances, one of the longest and most eloquent praises recorded in the New Testament. Think about that. Mary says, if I can offer something to God for what God is doing in me and in the world, it will be praise. So I want to ask you again, when circumstances aren't ideal, and it is okay to admit they're not ideal, when you find yourself hurt, and it is fine to be hurt, when you find yourself confused, and my heavens, I live my life confused, what do you offer to God? Maybe I should just back up a step. Do you offer to God? I have this silly notion that God is constantly at work in the world. That whether I'm awake or asleep, whether I'm doing or not doing, whether I'm in prayer or not in prayer, God is doing something in the world. That's the God I believe in. I believe that God is always building God's kingdom, moving towards the good. And I want to get on board with that. But sometimes, speaking for myself, what I offer to God is this isn't right, and I don't like this, and I wish this hadn't happened, and this sucks, God. And so I'm asking you, even when you feel that way in your heart, is there still space in your heart for praise? Mary offered us a great example. Mary gave the most eloquent praise when things could have been at about their worst. And she gave a gift, and it was recorded, and it's been repeated, and here we are in Advent reading it today, the gift of praise. What do you have in your heart that you will offer to God? Terribly hard to shop for. Given us a gift that we can't match the magnitude of. What will you offer to God this Christmas season? Psalm 34 says this, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted even hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together.